Welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Syosset Library's Turn the Page podcast, and we have a great guest today.
My name is Anthony Delcal. I am a comic and podcast writer. Amongst the comics that individuals may have heard of are Kill Shakespeare with IDW, Assassin's Creed, Son of Hitler with Image, and my upcoming series, The Death of Nancy Drew.
Wow, that's an ominous title.
Yes, I came up with the title. I came up with the title first and then the story afterwards, because I was trying to figure out what's the best way to make readers or potential readers realize that, this is probably a Nancy Drew story I've never heard before. And what? Nancy Drew is dead? And trust me, when it was announced back in late January, it caused a huge, huge uproar.
It went viral on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. It was and it wasn't. You have to understand I'm Canadian, if you haven't been able to recognize the accent. A boot, maple syrup. So I'm Canadian. So, I mean, I want people to like me. So when the project was announced, The Death of Nancy Drew, in late January, it was supposed to have been scheduled for an April 1 release, not April Fool's Day, but April 1. It went viral on Twitter and on social media. So everyone was talking about it. And I think it's because the press release said, in recognition, or I think it said, instead of saying in recognition, it said in celebration of the 90th anniversary of Nancy Drew's creation, you know, Dynamite Comics will kill Nancy Drew. And so I think that caused a huge uproar. That, and combined with the fact that it's myself, a male, and Joe Eisma is the artist, another male, people were, their hands were up in the air going, what the hell is going on here? It's two guys who are killing off Nancy Drew and having the Hardy Boys solve her murder. This is horrible. They're fridging Nancy.
Right.
But I mean, it's comics, and you know, I mean, the story. It's the official line that I was told to say. The official line that I came up with was, you know, not everything is as it seems because it's a noir story. Am I going to kill off Nancy Drew? You know, and have her so she's barely in it. It's just the Hardy Boys? Of course not. Nancy Drew is one of the greatest characters ever created, one of my favorite characters. So how could I write a Nancy Drew story without having her in it at all?
Right, right. Well, I guess we'll just have to see.
Yes, at some point it will be released in the future. We have no idea when. The last thing I heard last week from Dynamite Comics was, I think, the first week in June. However, who knows what comic book shops are like? I mean, it's currently March the 15th, and I'm here in New York, and we're still going to be in, a lockdown or semi-lockdown, whatever you call it, until mid-June now. So
right.
Are comic shops like Midtown Comics or Forbidden Planet going to open up in time for that release? I don't know. So probably, you know, it'll come out at some point in the future. That's all I can guarantee.
Very good. Well, we're looking forward to it. So one of the first titles you mentioned is actually about the first title I think I was saying I ran into you and a few others at Comic-Con years and years ago, and you were selling a title called Kill Shakespeare, which has a really cool premise. Would you like to talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. And again, I mean, that's one of the cool things. I mean, Kill Shakespeare first came out in 2010, so it's been 10 years now. I can't believe that. Last month would have been officially the 10th anniversary. Wow, I'm old. But yeah, I mean, one of the great things is over the last 10 years, I've gone to so many Comic-Cons, and so I've had the opportunity to meet so many fans and readers and librarians and, you know, and geeks. And so, you know, it was great that, you know, we met years ago and here we are on this podcast. Kill Shakespeare is very, very simple concept. It's a huge mashup. It's all of Shakespeare's greatest heroes and his most menacing villains all together in the same world. You know, they're on a quest to track down and kill or save a mysterious wizard by the name of William Shakespeare. The cross-sell that I often use is it's sort of like Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones with Shakespeare's characters. Hamlet, Juliet, Richard III, Othello, Lady Macbeth, Iago. I mean, our own little Justice League of Shakespeare, if you will. And so that came out, like I said, in 2010. We have 5 graphic novels out in total, 1 hardcover omnibus edition. There will be more in the future. And then we've got a board game. We have a stage show that's played in 36 cities worldwide now, including the Globe Theater in London, an audio drama with Audible Germany, and we're in development for TV with Universal Content Productions in LA. So it's a great title. We've written it. If you like your Shakespeare, then this is something that you can really geek out on. Like, oh my God, like Juliet survived. You know, what happens when she meets up with Hamlet? Are they going to butt heads? What happens when Richard III and Lady Macbeth, you know, meet up? You know, are they going to kill each other or are they going to sleep with each other? Who knows? So yeah, it's sort of this great what if scenario. And then for those that have very little knowledge of Shakespeare, don't fret. It's modern day language, you know, with some these and some thous, but really it's the characters, it's the action adventure, the drama, the love, the lust, double crossing, cross dressing, anything that Shakespeare, we throw it all in there.
So how did you choose which characters were going to be your heroes and which were going to be your villains? I mean, somebody like Iago, for instance, I feel like you have to have him in there, but how did you choose, you know, like, how did you choose them all? I mean, you know, there's so many Shakespeare plays and it's great because you can get really meta and play in that sandbox. And I've seen a lot of really fun ways that's done. For instance, there was actually an anime that came out a while ago, not really, but like 10 years ago, it feels like a while ago, where, you know, it plays in that sandbox of Shakespeare, but it was Romeo and Juliet, but Juliet was like a vigilante and that's how Romeo met her. So it's always very fun, but there were other Shakespearean characters in that as well. And I kind of wondered how the authors picked and chose. So for yourself, are you a veteran fan of Shakespeare? And what made you decide to, I think you said Falstaff was in with the heroes, right?
So what made you decide
what the Shakespeare Avengers were going to be and the you know
the Shakespeare and Legion of Doom.
Exactly. Shakespeare and Legion of Doom, yes.
I like to joke that they kind of came up and, you know, tapped us on the shoulders and said, hey, like, we want in on this. But really, I mean, first of all, it was myself and Connor McCreary, who's my co-creator on it. We're the ones that conceived of it many, many years ago, back in 2003. I think we were kind of just throwing around, just riffing, coming up with, you know, just doing some brainstorming, coming up with ideas. And all of a sudden the title came to us and we're like, oh my God, like, that's great. And we knew it would be something meta with all of his characters together. I mean, it was kind of easy choosing them, to be honest. I wish there was a grand story. I mean, Juliet was a natural. I mean, she's the one of the most well-known, if not the most popular, one of the most well-known. Lady Macbeth, the same thing. Richard III. I mean, because the whole goal is not only to make it appeal to those that know their Shakespeare, but also neophytes or people that were just, we wanted this to appeal to kids in classrooms that are just bored with Shakespeare. Like, we don't get this. Like, the language is archaic. I don't know what's happening. But I mean, everyone's heard of Richard III. Everyone's heard of Lady Macbeth, Hamlet, Juliet, Othello, Falstaff. So we wanted to kind of give that as, oh, I know what the Romeo and Juliet story is. Oh, this Juliet is like a rebel and she's fighting, you know, she's leading this rebellion. Wow, that's kind of cool. So yeah, for the most part, we kind of picked and choose some of the most popular ones or most well-known. Hamlet was actually one of the last ones to be included in the original plot line. Cause originally we were going to have it as someone like you or I. From the modern day world who falls into this portal that takes them into the Shakespearean land where you got like Juliet and Richard III and all those. And this guy was a young guy, he was in his early 20s. His father had died. He had issues with that sort of thing. And then as time went on, fairly early on in the process, I said, wait a minute, a guy who's melancholy, who's upset because he lost his father. Wait a minute, that sounds like Hamlet. And so we realized, oh, wait a minute, that actually is better. Like, I think Hamlet's still the greatest character ever created. So
Hamlet's a great character. He's absolutely, also arguably the original emo, but
I don't know if he's a. I don't know if that's arguably. I think he is the original emo.
I was just about to think that you were about to say Hamlet's not emo, and I'm like, he's the definition.
Oh no,
of emo.
He's emo. Yeah. He's emo. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All the bands, all the emo bands today, they all look at Hamlet like, oh man, that's my
king.
Hero.
Oh, captain, my captain.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it was kind of great. So I mean, so the original core cast of our story, yeah, it was very, you know, it kind of came easy. I mean, because we kind of knew, okay, these guys will be on this side, these will be on that side, and then figuring out like where they are in their stories. Like Juliet survived. Hamlet, we plucked from his actual story at the scene, you know, at the moment where he's taken from Denmark and he's captured by pirates. You know, we thought that was the perfect jumping in point. And then, yeah, I mean, in terms of Falstaff, you could not have Falstaff in here. Like,
he's
we had to put
awesome.
Him in here.
He's absolutely awesome. And I love, you know, you're talking, you were speaking before about people getting upset about a beloved character being killed off. If I remember correctly, Falstaff was one of those characters that people, like, if Shakespeare was to kill him off, people would have been really upset. He had to keep bringing him back for different plays.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, Shakespeare not only loved writing Falstaff in the Henry plays so much, but also the audience loved it. And I think Queen Elizabeth as well had actually, there's a rumor, I can't remember if this is, if it's been proven or not, but like she also loved Falstaff. So it's like, all right, let's bring him back. So that's why he did The Merry Wives of Windsor.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we had to put him in. I mean, he's not just the comedic sidekick, but he's also this, he's a believer. He's the one that believes in this wizard by the name of William Shakespeare. He believes that Shakespeare actually is their god and their creator. It was kind of cool to have this guy who one moment he's, you know, eating and, you know, cavorting with prostitutes and just doing the typical Falstaff thing. And the next moment he's very pious and he's a full believer. He's like, Hamlet, like, you need to do this. Like, trust me. I joke about a lot of stuff, but this thing is true and this is real. You have to
right.
believe.
Yeah, that's very cool. It sounds like a lot of fun to write.
Yes. Oh yeah, yeah. it's fun. I mean, a lot of people ask me if I'm intimidated by writing Shakespeare's characters. I'm like, no, because they are so great. And I mean, the goal is not to replicate them 100%, but take the core of who they are, who they were in their plays, and then expand upon that. And so yeah, I mean, it is a lot of fun. I mean, just kind of not only give me a chance to go in and brush up on my Shakespeare, as the song goes, but just to kind of like play around with them. And I mean, again, what gets me excited is to get new readers or new fans of Shakespeare into this. We've received a lot of accolades, a lot of great reviews, acclaim. I mean, a lot of, you know, we put out a lot of words, a lot of pictures. But one of the greatest things or one of the best pieces acclaim, I guess, was from a high school student in St. John's, Newfoundland, Labrador in Canada, where she wrote a piece of fan mail. And she said, yeah, you know, I read Romeo and Juliet last year in class. I thought it was boring. I didn't like Juliet. She was whiny, teenager girl and blah, blah, blah. But then my cool aunt gave me Kill Shakespeare for Christmas. And I read it. I loved it. And I wish I had read this before I had read Romeo and Juliet, because I would have really understood more of what Juliet was all about. And now I'm actually looking forward to reading Hamlet next year. So to get something like that in the mail. Oh yeah, it was so much fun.
That's nice.
I put that in my, that and the personal note of congrats from Sir Tom Stoppard. Those are the two pieces of fan mail that I've received that I hold up. In
those are pretty, pretty great, I think. So what about some of your other stuff? So you wrote something, in Assassin's Creed, the Assassin's Creed series, which is, was originally a video game.
Yep. I've done numerous things with Assassin's Creed. Yes, it's originally a video game published by Ubisoft and mainly created out of the Montreal office. I love working with more Canadians. It was something where myself and Connor, my Kill Shakespeare co-creator, we co-wrote three volumes of the graphic novel, of comics and graphic novels for Titan Comics. And then they asked me back to do a fourth one, Assassin's Creed Origins, so a spin-off of that video game. But most recently, I am the creator and writer of Assassin's Creed Gold, which is the first ever Assassin's Creed fiction podcast or audio drama.
Excellent.
That was released by, yeah, that
That's
was
great.
By Audible. Yeah, it was released by Audible back in February, and it's actually the number one ranked show of 2020 thus far. in terms of reviews. It's the reactions across the board has been phenomenal. Stars Riz Ahmed from the Emmy Award winner from The Night Of. He's a great actor. We have Anthony Stewart Head from Buffy the Vampire
Slayer. Giles, plays Isaac. Great Giles, librarian.
Exactly. And it's a really cool story, and it's true, or at least it's based on a true story. So everyone's heard of Isaac Newton. Everyone knows him as the philosopher, the scientist, the thinker. But for a 3.5-year period in the late 1600s, he was a badass, a Dirty Harry. He was the head of the Royal Mint, and he was basically in charge of tracking down all the counterfeiters in the country. So, he spent three and a half years basically tracking down these criminals, tracking down counterfeiters, doing whatever it took to bring justice. And so that's what the story is. It's all about him tracking down this counterfeiter with the help of a blind assassin. And it's really cool because, as we talked about, Assassin's Creed is a video game. It's very visual. Even the comics are visual. So to be able to take that world and transplant it into an audio world, it's both a challenge and a huge reward. I just love to do it. It's the third audio show, like audio drama, that I've written, and it's something that I'm going to be doing more of moving forward in the future, because there's just everyone listen to podcasts. I'm sure you, we're on a podcast.
We're on right a now. Podcast.
Sometimes I forget, we're just having a chat. Everyone's listening to podcasts. It's so cool to be able to tell stories. I used to love growing up in Canada. On Sunday mornings, my local radio station, I used to play like the old classic radio serials and dramas from the 30s and 40s. I used to wake up early just to listen to them. And here we are X number of years later. And now I'm getting to write some of them. So it's really cool.
That's one of the things that I really like about just the whole rise of podcasts, that it brought back a lot of that. When people started talking about Welcome to Night Vale, for instance, I was like, so that, like, that's like the, it sounds like the old radio dramas in a very self-aware way. It's a very cool thing.
It's very cool. And what's cool about it is just the accessibility. As I said, everyone's listening to podcasts, everyone's commuting, everyone's listening to audiobooks. They want to be entertained. They want to be inspired. They want to be enlightened. They want to enjoy themselves. Back in the 30s and 40s, that was the biggest form of entertainment. Yes, you had movies, but I think more people listen to radio shows, radio serials than they did code movies. Right. And it's really coming back in a new way, though. I think listeners are far more educated than they were, 100 years ago. And they're more pop culture savvy, and they're more savvy in general. It's a challenge, but something that I relish, to be able to kind of like take that to the next level. We understand this. We don't have to like have so much expository dialogue. Like, hello, Jessica. Hello, Anthony. Like, we don't need to do that every single moment. People understand where they are and what are cool little things that you haven't heard before, you haven't experienced before. And it's very intimate. With the radio dramas, families would gather around the radio and listen. Now it's just one person listening in. So you kind of really, it's really intimate. And in that sense, you can have more of a connection with a podcast than you can with a video game or a television show or a comic book.
Very cool. Yeah, no, I agree. And I just love how, it's really given people a chance to be creative in rehashing something that was so big, but making it something new and original. So before we go, I just wanted to talk about another thing. You delved into alternate history.
Oh, yes, yes. Son of Hitler, I assume.
Yes. I'm thinking of the producers, son of you know who. but anyway, yes, a son of Hitler. So that was an alternate history, World War II. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, So it's a graphic novel that was released a year and a half ago with Image Comics called Son of Hitler. It's by myself, Jeff Moore, and Jeff McComsey. It's an alternate history World War II thriller series or story. It's all about a legend. There was a rumor, and this is an actual rumor or legend back in World War II, that when Hitler was stationed in France in the First World War, he fathered a child. So I had never heard about this until Jeff, my co-creator, Jeff Moore. There's so many Jeffs attached to this. There's Jeff Moore, Jeff McCumsey, Jeff McClelland. At Image, there's Jeff Boysen. And there's another Jeff. I mean, it feels like it's
lots
Anthony and like,
there's
a lot of Jeffs. There's a lot of Jeffs. We should have just called it Jeff, and Jeff. sounds like a law firm. But no, I mean, Jeff Moore was the first one that brought it to my attention. And I was like, oh my God, like, I want to know what that story is.
Right.
And so, you know, we kind of created this whole, like back in the '60s, there was actually an individual who did a bunch of interviews and he wrote a book and said, yes, I'm the illegitimate son of Adolf Hitler. It was never proven. And a lot of people just kind of shrugged or kind of rolled their eyes like, yeah, we don't think so. Like they looked into it, like you don't have any proof. But it led to, and one of my favorite things when it comes to creating a book or a podcast or creating anything is that great what if, like what if he had a son? And so in this one here, there's an illegitimate son. He's in his mid-20s in the darkest days of World War II. He's in France, has no idea who his father is. He's always wanted to know, but never known. And really, it's a story about him and about a female spy from Britain, from London, who finds out about this rumor, this legend, and then she goes to track him down. And she says, look, I've got good news and bad news. Good news is you've always wanted to know the identity of your father. I know who he is. The bad news, he's Adolf Hitler. And so it's a story about the two of them basically trying to make their way to Berlin so that, his son could get close to his father, Hitler, and kill him and end the war. And so, I mean, it's got all the fun little stuff. It's got, you know, anything that's got World War, you know, it's all the cliches or all the fun tropes of World War II. So, I mean, spies, espionage, death, killing Nazis, weird medical experimentation, that kind of thing.
You didn't want to call it Inglourious Hitler's Bastard?
You're not the first person to actually say that.
Good, I'm glad.
Exactly.
Or maybe not.
But yeah, so I mean, the alternate history part of it is not only that, but there's a huge twist. So I won't reveal what the twist is, but when our main character, Pierre, actually gets to the bunker, he finds out something there, and that spins the story off in a completely different direction. And that was actually inspired by Charlottesville that happened in 2017.
Right.
Because up until then, you know, I lived in a world where Nazis, you know, everyone knew that Nazis were bad, and there were neo-Nazis around, but they weren't huge. They weren't a huge organization. They didn't have a big following, and they played in the shadows. And
they were very much underground. Yes.
Exactly. And then Charlottesville happened and made me realize, oh my God, like there are people that are willing to be identified as Nazis.
Yep.
And it's scary and it made it more relevant. And that's why I realized that I needed to tell more. I needed to make the story another degree more relevant. And so that's why there's a huge twist that then takes the story in a completely different direction, completely different location. Because I really wanted to make, especially North American audiences, you know, kind of take a stand or kind of, you know, to kind of lean in and go, oh my God, like, this, if this had happened, then wow, that would have been, that's crazy.
Right. Well, very cool. It's been wonderful talking to you. And we look forward to reading more of your work and hearing more from you. Is there anything on the horizon that you'd like to talk about, or is it all under wraps at the moment?
Most of it's under wraps. I mean, as we've already talked about the death of Nancy Drew. That'll come out of comic shops, the first issue, at some point in the next month or two, hopefully, knock on wood. I mean, that's the next big one. And I mean, Assassin's Creed just came out. So I mean, if you're intrigued by Assassin's Creed, if you want to learn more about Isaac Newton, or want to check out some really cool audio stuff, I mean, check that out on Audible.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Anthony. We really appreciate you discussing this with us. We are going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
Thank you.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.